This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. This weekend show, I am focusing a lot on market reactions on the tail end of what came out of that Fed statement, plus the follow-through, or lack of follow-through, I guess I should say, on some of those breakouts that we saw 2 weeks ago, and even just during this last week. And we will also be talking about those precious metals and the resource sector that still is relatively restrained, range-bound, really. I'm kicking off the show with David Brady. He is the president of Global Pro Traders. It's a website I really enjoy visiting because it's a very open forum where a lot of people share their ideas, and that includes what David has to say. Every time I've had David on the show, it's been a very good response. So, David, let's get right into some of the comments. First and foremost, on the back of the Fed statement and meeting, the Fed didn't cause any fireworks per se. It really went down the line of what a lot of people expected, or at least I believe those that had a more level-headed outlook, not calling for a rate cut. But we did see some market reactions. Can you take us through some of the main reactions that you watched that you think are telling kind of a bigger picture here?
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me on, Corey. Happy to go through those. The FOMC meeting was somewhat of a dud to many people because all they did was reduce a rate by 5 basis points to bring it in line with the Fed funds rate. And that's the interest on reserves. But it was the fact that they didn't do as much as people anticipated on the dovish side that was telling. Because I was saying the day before on my website that it was obvious to me based on what was happening with regard to pricing and sentiment in advance of the FOMC, most notably the dollar, that people were getting excited about the prospect of a dovish Fed. And, you know, Trump's tweet in advance of that, of the FOMC, of course, encouraged that, where he was calling for 1% cut in rates and a return to QE. But the fact that the dollar fell for 3 days in a row ahead of the FOMC spoke to the fact that many people, perhaps not the most level-headed, but most people were expecting some form of dovishness from the Fed. Well, they didn't get it. And to further reiterate the fact that they were dovish, the market was expecting dovishness before the FOMC, look at the reaction after the FOMC. Dollar spiked, gold and silver dropped, stocks dropped too, which, you know, these days is a rarity. So, you know, it basically confirmed before and after the FOMC that the Fed was expected to be dovish, and they weren't. Now, one of the things I would say, we can get into this a little later, but the fact that they did nothing doesn't speak much. Well, they did something, but it was minute. But it was a snub to Trump, that was one thing. But the bigger issue was, what it told us about what will happen down the road if and when the Fed is forced to reverse policy to rate cuts, QE, on top of $2 trillion in infrastructure spending coming down the pipe at some point, and potentially MMT. I've been saying since, not since day one, but for quite a long time, that when the Fed reverts to easy monetary policies, this will pull the rug out from underneath the dollar, and it will send everything else higher. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Stocks, bonds, bond prices, bond yields will go down, bond prices go up because the Fed will be buying them. And then you've got gold and silver are going to shoot higher, and then commodities too will also benefit. So the reaction, the action in the market in anticipation of Fed dovishness, and then the reaction after they didn't get it, somewhat confirms that thesis. And I think that's a valuable tidbit to take away from this meeting. I think that this meeting, although it came across initially as being a dud, actually gave us quite a few insights into what will happen going forward.
So one thing just to follow up on there is that it seems like we're just kind of waiting for the Fed to truly switch course and inject a lot more cheap money into the system, which would drive the dollar down. But then why do we expect anything different than what has happened before, where that money ends up in the financial markets?
Exactly. The Fed teased us last year on a number of occasions. I mean, when Powell was nominated and he gave his speech upon nomination as the Fed chair back in November 2017, he basically said we're going to do everything within our power, whatever it takes, to defend the U.S. Financial system. That was a strange comment to make. He was talking about the insurance policy that the Fed would provide upon potentially taking office. And then he reiterated it again, much more so, in the second half of last year at Jackson Hole and the August FOMC meeting. They talked about the various tools they could use in the event of another crisis. I thought the economy was doing wonderfully well. It was the greatest economy in the world, etc. And yet they're talking about all the emergency measures they could potentially use. The New York Fed head, Williams, was doing the same, talking about negative interest rates. Yellen was talking about a return to QE in the event of another crisis, although she said there would not be another financial crisis in her lifetime. Maybe she's ill or something. But my point is that numerous Fed members have already hinted that they plan to go back to these crisis measures when the time comes. Now, in my opinion, stepping back for a second from the bigger picture perspective, given the mountain of debt and the slowing economy, the Fed is in a situation where they have to, as I say, inflate or deflate, or inflate or die, or collapse. In other words, they have to inflate the system in order to reduce the value of that debt. I consider these policies, as Dalio alluded to yesterday, as inevitable. And the reason for that is they have to inflate away this mountain of debt. Otherwise, the U.S. is insolvent. And we could get into unfunded liabilities coming due in 2020, which are going to waterfall onto the U.S. Budget in terms of obligations. And how are they going to pay for them? They can't grow their way out of them. They're going to have to inflate away the debt. Now, if the Fed needs to revert to such policies, I believe they do. They're not going to just flip a light switch. They need an excuse to do so. Low inflation allows for rate cuts, but it's difficult to justify with stocks at all-time highs, as is a standing repo facility, which I call quasi-QE. The excuse they need, or would be ample for their needs, is another crash in stocks. And, the stock market has become a long way since December. I think it's running out of steam, and it could go through a whole wash of indicators and signals that signal the stock market's about to run into trouble. But at the end of the day, liquidity is all that matters to stocks. On our last call, you and I talked about the buyback blackout, and I cited the risk to the stock market from that. Well, after our call, the Chinese stepped up again with stimulus to offset the loss of liquidity due to the buyback blackout. They did so in January, and they did so again in April. Well, now Xi has said, they're done with stimulus, and it'll be interesting to see how liquidity plays out over the coming months. I mean, we have corporate buybacks kicking in again, so we're fine for the next month or so. But this rally is getting a little tired after a huge jump from December.
All right, David, unfortunately, we are out of time for the radio. But for everyone listening on the radio, David and I are going to continue this conversation. We get into still a number of different topics of what will make the Fed change course and how the precious metals are reacting through this whole scenario. If you want to listen to that full interview, please visit kereport.com or download our podcast. You can find that at Corlin Economics Report. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Abby Gilbert.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I'm happy to report that I'm bringing back on Avi Gilbert. He is the founder, I guess I can say, of the Elliott Wave Trader website, which I will post a link to. Avi, let's jump around to a number of different markets and get your updated technicals. First and foremost, the U.S. equity markets. Very strong finish for the markets this week on Friday, as we can use whatever reason we want. want, but the markets, again, move to those all-time highs, especially the S&P, and that's where I want to focus on here. What do you think? Do you think that now that, again, the market has pushed higher and closed the week at all-time highs, that we're setting up for maybe another run forward in the S&P?
Well, I'm going to take a step back, if you don't mind. When we were over 2,900, we started looking for, you know, a 20 to 30% correction to start beginning. And when we broke below 2,880, that really gave us the impetus to view that it potentially has begun. Our ideal target for the larger degree structure here is around the 2,200 region. We came about 100 points short of that when we bottomed at 2,316 on the futures that night in December. So, you know, the question is, are we completely done with this larger degree correction and just we're going to be heading on to the next target I have, you know, north of 3,500, potentially as high as 4,000 over the next couple of years? I don't think we're getting there yet. I think this higher high is getting people very bullish, and I think it may be setting up for a rug pull. So as it stands right now, our target is for this current structure is pointing up to 3,011 to 3,045. The main level of support for this right now is 2,880, again, to 2,884. It's that region right there that's going to be support. Once that region breaks again, then, and of course, if we get up to 3,011, 3,045, we'll raise that. But once that region breaks again, that can open up a larger degree correction similar to what happened in the last quarter of 2018.
Okay, so possibly still some more upside for the S&P, but regarding that pullback, that does seem like it's coming sooner rather than later, depending on just how far these markets get. Do we go back to that December or Christmas Eve low that we saw last year?
Like I said, my ideal target for this degree correction that we were expecting towards the end of 2018 was 2,200. We came about 100 points short of that. Was that enough? The problem is it could have been enough from a point standpoint, but from a structure standpoint, it looks incomplete. So I'm looking for a return to the December lows sometime in the last half of 2019. I apologize, last half of 2019, and potentially even a little bit below that, maybe to scare the real crap out of people.
Okay. Well, interesting comments there. So again, these markets still relatively strong, but are due for some sort of a correction, similar to what we saw at the tail end of last year. Let's move over to the metals sector. A lot of our listeners always are interested in what you have to say for the metals. They had a nice rebound at the end of last year, but so far this year, after putting in what looks like a, at least short term now, top in February, they've been trending lower. Where do you see GLD setting up?
Well, I'll tell you, it has turned into one big mess. We've been going sideways for a hell of a lot longer than I had initially expected. To be honest with you, we could have been done with this correction, you know, in early 2017. The fact that we've now been going sideways like this has just been astounding to me. But what it has done is it has opened up a little more concern about the sustainability of the next rally, the next major rally. You know, in the shorter term, it's a little bit of a mess. I'd love to see it bottoming right here. If it's not going to bottom right here, then we're probably going to get down to about the 113 region and bottom down there in the GLD. But if you're more of an intermediate to longer term player, there's no question in my mind, I think, from at least from a higher probability perspective, there's no guarantees in life, but from a higher probability perspective, you know, this is a buying opportunity. And my minimum target as we look towards 2020 for GLD is about 138. That's my minimum target. Once we get up there, we're going to have to really look at some risk management once we move up there. But you know what? We could talk about that closer to 2020. I don't have to worry anybody about that right now. Overall, in the intermediate term, I believe we're heading into a bottoming structure here, and my minimum target on the upside as we look towards 2020 is 138.
Okay, a couple of things to dissect there. 138 would be a nice break to levels we haven't seen since 2013, but when you talk about these charts being a mess, as you call them, because they're just stuck in this range and moving sideways, you said it puts into question a little bit of the run that could happen on the upper end. Why is that? Is that just because it takes buyers longer to get comfortable with the market that has been this range-bound?
Well, it's more of a technical Elliott wave answer. If we turn into what would look like a triangle here, which has developed from the bottom we struck in 2017. So once we topped in 2016 and pulled back ever since, we've been forming what, if it completes down to the 113 region, would be more of a triangle. There's only two places you find triangles. And it's usually right before the last rally in a move. That would mean that the next rally we would see up to the 138 region could be a little higher. It depends. But the next rally up to the 138 region, if this turns into a triangle, would be terminal. It'll be terminal, meaning that could set us up to head to lower lows, lower than what we struck in 2015. So that is in the back of my mind at this point in time, based upon the structure. So if we get down to the 138 region, it's something we're going to have to be wary of. I'm not saying that's my main perspective, but it's just something that has to remain in the back of my mind for now.
Now, what about the gold miners ETF, like GDX? We saw that breakdown in 2018 where it broke out of that range that it was trading in. Any more concerns maybe here on this chart compared to the gold chart?
The GDX is a little bit more of a problem because what it represents, it does not represent the entire miner universe. It's a relatively limited relative to the larger mining universe, and we're actually considering building something that's more representative of the general mining universe. The reason I say that is because the miner complex is quite bifurcated right now. You have some stocks they look gorgeous. I mean, they look like they are about to rip higher very soon.
All right. Avi, always great chatting with you. I do appreciate all of your comments and all of your thoughts. Avi, have a great rest of your weekend. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A charter flight from Cuba veered off a runway at Naval Air Station Jacksonville in Florida. It came to rest in the St. John's River. 143 people were aboard. 21 people were treated for injuries. WJAX TV reporter.
Crews are trying to prevent fuel from the plane leaking into the St. John's River. That's a big concern right now. Crews have been out here for hours. We expect this to continue well into the morning. Once they get this situation under control, then the process moves towards removing the plane from the St. John's River.
The plane was carrying military personnel and civilians from Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. A huge explosion and fire has happened at a silicone plant in Waukegan, Illinois. At least 4 people were hospitalized, and 3 are still unaccounted for. This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm happy to say that I am chatting with Adrian Day in this segment. Adrian is the CEO of Adrian Day Asset Management. And Adrian, we're going to spend the first little while focusing on the precious metals sector and some of your strategies when it comes to investing in these stocks. When you have a market and overall sector that for the most part has been range bound for, let's say, 6 years now, there are some attractive companies that you can dive down into and buy, but it's not one of those bullish markets where money is flowing in and all stocks are rising together. What are some of the characteristics in the stocks that you are watching and that you are buying right now?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Corey, and that's an interesting question. First of all, I'd kind of challenge you a little bit on saying that we've been range-bound for 6 years. For most of that, we've lost a lot of money in the gold space, but I think we've definitely been range-bound, and I know what you mean. We've been range-bound for a while now. The XAU has pretty much been range-bound for a year and a half now, 2 years, and very, very few stocks are, very few are getting any kind of lasting momentum in that kind of environment. So we're doing a couple of things. First of all, we're looking for opportunities to build positions in our very, very favorite companies. And there's always some reason, some press release, some news report, some development or whatever, some mutual fund dumping the shares. There's always some development that causes stocks to have breaks that are temporary. And we're trying to take advantage of those breaks to build positions in companies that we really like. And, you know, we can talk about some of that a little bit if you like. But again, staying with the very best. I think in this kind of market, when everything is so low,
and nothing is or very little is really moving, there's just no need to go into lower quality companies. So we're just sticking with the best, whether they're large or small. That's number one. I guess number two is we're looking for companies that we like again that have the potential for big moves in the relatively near term. Companies that are working on something, an example which I'm sure we'll talk about a little later would be Midland Exploration and their Metril discovery up in James Bay. They finished a drilling, I think it was about, I forget, was it 10 holes they did? And the results should be out in a couple of weeks. So we're looking at things like that. And then the third thing we're doing, which you and I talked about before, is selling puts on stocks. You know, when the market is not really moving dramatically, and especially when it's soft for gold stocks now, you know, when they're down, we've had some ups and downs, we've had some volatility, but nothing really lasting. A really good strategy is to sell puts on stocks. Again, we're selling puts on stocks we want to own, but selling puts is a great win-win strategy because you sell a put and you have one or two outcomes. Either the stock is put to you, and it's put to you by its nature at a price. If you sell an under-the-market put, it's put to you at a price below where you could buy it today. Or the stock moves up, it's not put to you, and you pocket the income. So either way, the investor has a positive outcome. Now, the big risk, if you like, and I put risk in quotes, the big risk to selling puts is that the market moves up or the individual stock moves up and you miss buying it. But I'm assuming that anyone listening to this show is already well exposed to the gold market. So, you know, we'd have plenty of, if the stock market, if gold moved up dramatically, I think we'd all be very, very happy, even if some of our puts didn't get assigned to us. But anyway, that's basically what we're doing now.
Okay, and let's first talk about selling those puts, too, because when you're selling puts, you're, I guess, giving yourself a little protection in case that market moves down, and then the stock will get put to you, so then you will be an owner. But if the, let's say, market crashes, you at least have that little bit of downside protection, whatever you put your put at. But as you said, if the market really takes off, you're assuming that people still have a position in a lot of these stocks, so you might not have as many shares as I'm sure you would want, but you're still just protecting a bit of downside while also still taking part in some of the upside.
Well, yes, that's right. Now, I don't like to think of it as protecting your downside, maybe minimizing your downside, because obviously if the gold stocks crash, you know, they're going to be put to you and you're going to lose money along with everyone else, but not so much money. So just to take an example, if we may, Pan American. You know, Pan American is up from a low of 12.35 a couple of weeks ago to 12.80. So it's had a bit of a move, but it's still very, very low in terms of its price. You know, it was $15.50 in January. It's now under $13. So you could look at selling puts on that. You could sell, for example, a June 12, which is under the market, and get 40 cents for that. So, you know, you sell 20 of them, you get $800, etc. If you sold, let's just say you sell 30 of them, so you get $1,200 premium, that would obligate you to buy 3,000 shares, so $39,000 worth, $36,000 worth. If the stock goes under $12 on the expiration date, 21st of June. Now, if it does go under 12 and is put to you, your net cost would then be $11.60, and $11.60 would be its low price since about April 2016. So you'd be buying it at a pretty good price. If the stock moves up, you keep the 40 cents, which on a $12 put, which is, you know, what your exercise price is on a $12 put, that's, 3% a year. That's not bad. And we're talking June, so we're talking 6 weeks from now. not 3% a year, it's 3%, and we're talking 6 weeks, so that's not bad. And if you really want to own the stock, you sell a 13 put. So you sell a put that's above the market, and if you sold a June 13, you're getting 85 cents. So if it's put to you, you'd be buying Pan American at $12.15, which again is a three-year low. So that's the strategy we like, and there's lots of stocks right now that have good premiums. What you need to look for, obviously, I should emphasize, or I shouldn't say obviously, our strategy is only ever to sell a put on a stock that we would want to own, right? So we never just sell puts because they look good or attractive. We sell a put on a stock we want to own. That's number one. So then having that list, you look for the ones that have attractive premiums. And you typically get attractive premiums when stocks are down and they've been volatile in the last few weeks or months. So you don't get good premiums on stocks that, you know, are flat. So Franco-Nevada, for example, which is one of my favorite companies, you know, the puts on those are not that attractive. You know, a 70 put, which is just under the market, you get $1.25. But you'd have to put 70,000. If you sold 10 of them, you'd have to put $70,000 aside. That's not very, very attractive because the stock isn't that volatile. If you look at Newmont, that's a bit better. That's got very attractive premiums, I think. Pan American, Pretium.
Okay. Well, I think there's some interesting comments there on how to use puts in this market. Hey, Adrian, good chatting with you. I always enjoy what you're talking about and what stocks you are looking at. Adrian, have a great rest of your weekend, and thank you again for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at GCNlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody has enjoyed the conversation so far regarding, well, market moves, what the Fed is doing, and where we stand in terms of a wide range of markets. To wrap up the show, I am chatting with Joseph Schachter. He is the founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report, and that means we are talking about the energy sector. Joseph, last time I had you on the show, let's say almost a month ago now, you were mentioning that you thought we could see a general decline in oil and the oil stocks. Over this last month, the oil price has generally moved sideways, but it does look like it's starting to roll over, down about 9% since the last time we chatted. Can you take us through some of the factors of maybe why the price is rolling over here and why you think this rollover could continue?
Yeah, we've on the bullish side, which took the price of oil up to 67, you had the issue of course, Iran sanctions, going back on, and the U.S. government telling everybody who was buying Iranian oil that if they did buy it, that they would face U.S. sanctions. So about 1 million barrels a day is bought by mainly China and India and also Turkey. And both of those, all those three countries have now said, take a hike. Let's use that terminology. So there was concern about 1 million barrels coming off the market. Now that's not the case. The other thing is that the U.S. demand in the wintertime is about 22.4 million barrels a day. Now that we're out in the shoulder season, demand is like 20.2 to 20.5 million a week. And so when you have, so that means like there's 2 million less demand in the States, and we're seeing inventories build as a result. So this week, on Wednesday, the EIA report came out, and it showed a 9.9 million barrel build, and inventories in the States now are about 8% above where they were a year ago, just in commercial stocks. When you take total stocks, including all the products, it went up on the week, excluding the SPR, by 12.7 million barrels. That people can find in the EIA report that comes out every Wednesday. It's called the petroleum balance sheet, and we're up 69.6 million barrels over a year ago. The other thing was that the U.S. production went to a new record all-time high of 12.3 million barrels, up 100,000 on the week. So you've got a number of things here. One, you've got more production coming in the States. Later this year, there'll be even more as new pipelines come on in the Permian. And then second, you've got an inventory build, which is seasonal, and it's a bigger build than people have thought. So that's the cool-off that we're seeing from the price of oil. We were at 67 or just under it at the high 2 weeks ago. We're now looking at the price of oil in the 61 range, and I think we will probably come below 60. And potentially, if we continue to see these kinds of builds, 5 to 10 million barrels a day over the month of June and May and June, then inventories could get up to levels that would be quite high and people would be concerned, and we might break $50 a barrel. But I think that what will happen is once we get into the summer and demand for driving is strong, I think we're going to see the storage come down in the summertime, and that'll probably turn the prices around and move them back higher. So I'm looking for maybe sub-50 during June for WTI, and it's 61 today. And then I'm looking by the fourth quarter that we're looking at $70 to $80 WTI and even higher prices in 2020. So the way I'm looking at it is any weakness in May, June on the stock prices because of lower crude prices becomes a great buying opportunity. And, you know, we can talk names if you'd like, but the key thing is that a lot of stocks are backing off here, and they're going to give you another very attractive buying opportunity, not as attractive as during tax loss selling of November, December of 2018, but maybe 10, 20% below where they were just 2 weeks ago.
Well, that was quite the washout we got during tax loss selling, but I also want your comment on what President Trump has been doing, consistently going after OPEC, trying to get them to, well, trying to get prices down, lower, generally lower for the oil sector. Do you think this is also going to, or already having an impact on the oil price?
Well, Saudi Arabia, for example, you know, doesn't really like Iran very much. So if they're going to get the Americans to increase the sanctions on Iran, then they're going to have to provide the volumes. And, of course, they have about 2 million barrels a day of excess capacity. They were producing almost 12 million barrels a day at the high, and then now they're doing under 10 million. So they do have the ability to put that million barrels in, and plus their buddies Kuwait, UAE, you know, Dubai have excess capacity as well. So while everybody's worried about a little bit about Libya and a little and somewhat about Venezuela, the Saudi Arabian allies do have the ability to increase production. And as I mentioned, you know, the U.S. production is at record highs and U.S. you know, storage is rising sharply. That alone, you know, it can cover off any problems. And the Americans become a smaller and smaller importer, which frees up capacity from OPEC to be sold to other countries that are impacted by Iran.
Okay, now what about this Iran issue as well? It doesn't seem to be as problematic as people once thought, but is there any chance that it could become more problematic?
Well, the Iranians have threatened that if, you know, if the sanctions do bite, and their economy gets even worse, that they would, you know, potentially, block the Straits of Hormuz, which would mean a lot of oil coming out of a lot of the OPEC countries wouldn't be able to get to market. But the Americans have a little bit of a larger navy than the Iranians do, and in that area, and then plus the Saudis have their own, and so do other military powers in the area. So I think, you know, Iran would be foolhardy if they were to try anything militarily, because I think they get smacked down pretty quickly.
Okay, let's also talk about U.S. production, because U.S. production rose by about 100,000 barrels a day, and now is at a new record high of just over 12 million barrels a day. How's this going to play out with the U.S. producing more, still Trump pushing on OPEC? What do you think the balance is going to be, and do you think that the U.S. can actually sustain this level of production?
Yeah, the thing is the price of oil in the 60s allows the companies to reinvest. Their cost structure continues to go down. The big limiting factor has been pipeline capacity. The same kind of problem we've had in Canada, but the Americans are building them pretty quickly here. U.S. production this week was 12.3 million. That's up 1.68 million from a year ago. So the Americans are just, you know, ramping up production because the, you know, the Bakken is doing well, the Permian is doing well. There's so many plays in the States that are becoming much more lucrative. And, you know, the increase is like 15% above a year ago. And there's talk that potentially you could see, you know, 14 million barrels sometime in 2020, because about 2 million barrels of new takeaway capacity pipeline systems are coming in the U.S., particularly in the Permian. So, you know, you add that to the volume and, you know, U.S. less demand internally is about 20.1 million last week. But for the year, and this is again straight from the data from the EIA, is 20.6 million year to date compared to 20.5 million a year ago, which is only up by 0.3. So you've got an increase of just under 100,000 barrels consumed in the States year over year, and yet you've had a 1.68 million barrel increase in U.S. production. So when you take into account U.S. domestic production of oil and of other supply, which is like natural gas liquids, the U.S. is producing about 19 million barrels. So the net imports are very, very low, and they do import quite a bit from Canada. So the United States, which is the biggest consuming market in the world, is now also a major exporter because the new oils coming on in the Permian and the Eagle Ford are all lighter oil, and the refineries on the Gulf Coast have been using for many years heavy oil from Canada, Mexico, and Venezuela. So those they can't put it into the refinery in the area, so then they're exporting light oil to the rest of the world. And that, of course, as part of the trade battle between U.S. and China and others, the U.S. is going to be pushing them to buy American light oil, which is easier to refine. And so, you know, the whole thing is the Americans are going to become, you know, right now are the biggest producer in the world, bigger than Russia, bigger than Saudi Arabia. And that number will just keep on getting bigger, which means the Americans will be net exporters of light oil, and their heavy crude will be coming in from, you know, Venezuela, Mexico a little bit, but mainly from Canada.
All right, Joseph, thank you for the update on the oil sector. I think now we just wait for that pullback to happen and then look at some of the stocks that still, I think, generally are underperforming even that recent rebound in the oil price. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the first hour and for everyone who tunes in during the week. Please always check out those daily editorials and the company updates throughout the week. I really appreciate all the comments and all the emails that everyone sends to me. Please keep them coming, fleck@kereport.com. And everybody, I will be back on Monday with more interviews. Have a great rest of your weekend. Same goes for you, Joseph.
Appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.